This is Kate Scott Allen of OJCode.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Hello and welcome to Herding Code. Today we're talking to Pablo Santos. He is the founder of Plastic SCM. But today we're talking to him about a new tool that they've come up with, which is called Semantic Merge. And as it sounds like, this is actually moving beyond just simple text-based merges to a semantic-based understanding of your code. Is that right, Pablo?
Hi, John. Yeah, that's right. What we try to achieve with this product is to make true this idea that I think every developer had at least once, right? Which is, okay, why the diff tool, why the merge tool is not able to understand my language? And that's basically what we came up with.
Okay, so to start with, as we're talking about understanding languages, then you have current support for C# and Java, is that right?
Exactly. We do support C# and Visual Basic .NET. Then we implemented Java, and now we are working at full speed trying to come up with C and then C++. We started with C# because we are C# developers, basically everyone here in the team, and it's a very well-structured language, easier to parse, easier to deal with than C or C++, and it also has a very strong community who understand the value of these kind of tools, right? That's why we started with that. But our goal is to keep on spreading the tool to more and more languages. Of course, it takes time and effort because it's not like a regular diff tool that is general to every language because it's just text-based, right? You have to parse the code. You have to deal with the code structures, and that's what makes it good and also complicated to develop.
I saw a reference somewhere on the site, and then I also looked at the install, and I saw that you're using Roslyn for some of the parsing. Is that correct?
That's correct. We didn't, we tried to avoid reinventing the wheel because actually dealing with the language is not an easy part. So we built the C# and Visual Basic parts on top of Roslyn.
Was that difficult to do?
Actually, it was very smooth because, normally all the libraries that are made by Microsoft, they are normally well-documented, they are easy to work with, well-designed, so that's not the difficult part. In fact, what was great about using Roslyn is that we were able to focus on the parts that we really know how to do or that we needed to, come up a solution to. And basically, the parsing part was not the difficult one, and it let us focus on all the diff calculation and all the semantic merge calculation, which is actually the difficult part and also the part we are experts on, because that's basically what we already know from our other product, as you mentioned, Plastic SCM.
Okay, and then in the languages mentioned, I've also seen on the site JavaScript, and I can imagine there'd be a huge amount of interest in that as well.
That's true. Our goal is to come up with a version for JavaScript. It's still under development right now. It's one of the languages we want to come up with. There is a huge demand. In fact, if you go to our user boy site, demand number one is macOS. We're working on that. Before that, it was Linux, and we already have a Linux tool also for some, a semantic merge version for Linux. And then you get languages like JavaScript, C, C++, and then from there, almost everything, right? With JavaScript, the difficulty is that for us, right, that, it's not so structured as C# is, as everyone knows, right? So in C# it's very easy to detect if a method was moved or something like that. Basically, you get classes, methods, everything well structured. In JavaScript, you can do basically everything you want. So it's a little bit more difficult to deal with it from the semantic merge point of view. We are still trying to figure out how to really come up with something useful there.
Yeah, and so you get with Roslyn, you get support for C# and VB.NET, and I think that's it, right? You're on your own as far as parsing everything else, Java included.
Exactly. In order to parse any other language, we have to find out another way, right? And the thing there is that, for instance, in Java, we use some Java parsers that are already there, using some libraries from Eclipse and so on to actually be able to parse the code. With C and C++, we're trying to use LeafSlang. These libraries that are also being used by the compilers in LLVM and also, I think, Mac, the people at Apple is also using it for their own compilers and so on. So trying to solve as easy as possible, as quick as possible, the parsing part. For instance, we open it up a way to flag new parsers. So, for instance, the Delphi people added their own parser, and now we also have support for Delphi contributed by programmers from the Delphi community, right? And the same is true for JavaScript. We actually hired some people to help us with a JavaScript parser. And yet, you know, just, as you said, we are on our own there. And my main concern right now is trying to come up with something good and stable for C, and especially C++, because, you know, C++ is not an easy one, right?
Okay, so with regards to JavaScript and the fact that it's very loosey-goosey in terms of, you know, what you can do and how you can rewrite the code as you're writing it, have you looked at adding any kind of ability for semantic merge to work with TypeScript?
Absolutely. You know, we look into the languages that people are asking for, and then TypeScript is already there, right? And yes, as you mentioned, it seems it's going to be a little bit easier to deal with, and yeah, we'll try to come up with a solution for it too. My feeling is it's fortunately a little bit easier to handle. We're trying to go to move in the user voice list one by one, right? You know, attacking the ones with a higher number of people asking for it, and yeah, we have there almost everything. I mean, we also have people asking for F sharp, you know, XML. There's a lot of people asking for CML support, you know, different things.
So just to back up for a second and make sure everyone's clear on the selling point of this project, I'm a C-sharp developer. I'm using Git or I'm using TFS. That doesn't matter. You configure yourself into different source control systems. The whole idea of this is that it actually understands the code at the fundamental level instead of just diffing text. So if I move a method around, semantic merge would understand that that's really not a change to the application. It's just moving some text around. What kind of refactorings does it understand, and what would it not understand?
Okay, well, that's a very interesting question. Well, one of the things where it really helps is the following scenario. Suppose you open a file, there's a class there in C#, or even, you know, a class plus a subclass inside and stuff like that. So you have to fix a bug. You normally just focus on what you have to do, fix the line that is broken or whatever, and then you move ahead. But sometimes you find the code is hard to read, hard to understand, and then say, okay, you know what, maybe if I move this method up, I'll make it more readable, and then this other down, and maybe it's move these two methods to a new subclass, or this kind of stuff. But most of the time you don't do it, or sometimes you don't do it if you know someone else is working on the same area, because then you'll have a big issue trying to merge. What semantic basically helps you to do, is helps you to achieve, is basically solving that sort of situations. You move a method up, I modify the same method or in a different location in the original file, then we merge, and semantic knows the method has been moved and then modified, so it's not an issue for it. And even more complex cases, something like what happens if you move the method up, I move it down, or you move it up and I move it to a new subclass. It's still able to handle that. It's going to detect, you know, it's only this conflict. Instead of showing you a bunch of lines deleted and added and all that, it's going to go straight to the point. What semantic cannot do today is to do multi-file semantic merge. So if you move a method to a different file, we cannot handle it so far. In fact, we have a working prototype doing that, but it's more a proof of concept yet. And the issue there is that while semantic is very easy to plug into any version control system because it's just like a standard diff, a merge tool, multi-file is a little bit different because you need the version control to send you more information. That's why the proof of concept, we made it with our own version control system. We developed Plastic SCM, and there it works fine. But we have to figure out how to do it with TFS and Git and so on. It's also very interesting because the name is semantic merge, right? So it mentions merge in the name, right? But it's also very, very useful when you're diffing code. So you have to diff a file changed by a colleague or something, his own branch, his own change, whatever, then you diff it. And in order to understand what's going on, it's very simple to go to the semantic diff graphical representation. Then you see, okay, only this method was modified because the others were just moved around.
So some really important things that you just mentioned there. One is that the graphical representation, obviously always a problem on a podcast. You can't see it, but it's incredible. Like, it really looks nice. You have graphs that will show visually what moved to different, you know, different methods and things. And you also show the merge and diff view are just really nice looking.
Thank you. Yes, this is one of the goals we had from the very beginning, right? In fact, one of the questions we get from people is, hey, what is not just a side-by-side diff like any other diff tool? And the thing that we try to come up with is, okay, because when you switch methods to different positions, like, okay, it was at the beginning, now it's at the end, but another one was also moved, and they are in some sort of crisscross situation, it's very hard to show that side-by-side. So in our interface, we go to the graphical view, and then you just see the lines, and everyone can understand that. It's what you will draw on a paper, right? And then on the textual view the graphical view that you can see where the difference are, it just focuses on what really has changed. So you might have 20 methods modified, two moved or something, but there's only one which is in conflict, so you only see the one that is in conflict in the main view. So you can really somehow, you know, focus on what really matters. Of course, you have another view to see everything, and you can diff the code even in a conventional way and all that.
And people really underestimate or overlook the value of a nice interface and more importantly, an easy to understand interface. I mean, there's kind of this very CLI oriented view of merging and source control, kind of that you know the hardcore people do. But if you look at like GitK versus something like SourceTree or GitHub for Windows, where it shows the way that the branches are flowing together, you find, you know, I find that I'm able to do a lot more complex kinds of check-ins and moving things around and pruning than I am from the command line, for sure. And I think the same thing applies towards merges. You get something that's very basic, like the basic SVN diff mechanism, where it just shows pluses, minuses, and blah, blah, versus something like semantic merge or like the source gears, it was the diff merge, I think, or even the pforce merging tool. It's a lot easier to see how the code that's, you know, being modified and how it lines up, you know, where it actually is in the file and what actually is changed, a lot easier than just having, you know, pluses and minuses and brackets with head and mine and theirs and revision numbers and stuff on it, I think, at least.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. I mean, the thing is that for the last 5-7 years, since the mid of the last decade, we have been through a revolution in version control. Now we have Git, now we have TFS, now we have much better systems out there, right? Mercurial and all that, right? But if you look at the diff and merge tools, we're still using technology from 20 years ago. I mean, it's like nothing changed. What we wanted to come up with is, first, is something that has been on the minds of all of us for years, right? Like, okay, why is not able to understand the code? It sounds so obvious, right? So let's just go and do it. And also we want to come up with something different, right? Because as you pointed, okay, a lot of people are still looking at the diffs as, you know, plus and minus and what, you know, actual the regular old archaic diff command from Unix, right? And that's fine for a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are perfectly fine with that, but we try to come up with something completely new, completely different, new technology, able to understand things. And it's just, of course, the beginning, right? We want to go much farther and try to come up with even stronger things.
Yeah, as you pointed out, you know, the three-way merge that you end up with DVCS is a lot more complex. You know, I think a lot of these tools, and merge and diff tools, evolved during time when, you know, you were doing simple two-way merge, you know, and now it's a much harder problem to understand code that's been changed by more than one person in a complex way.
Exactly. I mean, and the beautiful thing here is that it's something that when you start using it, then you start really to miss it when you don't have it. Because, for instance, something very natural for us here when we are developing is, okay, we code review every task we do, right? Okay, you have to review someone else's code, and then you find a bunch of changes and so on with a regular diff tool, and then we immediately go to semantic diff, and even we miss multi-file semantic diff, which is something we are really trying to develop for the next months or something like that, because internally we just say, okay, look, this guy modified 20 files, but at the end of the day, 7 of them was just adding using, but you see them, so you think, okay, this is a big change, but at the end of the day, it's just something very small. So if you can get more semantic information about that, it really makes you, you know, have a different feeling about reviewing the code, because you say, okay, look, there are 20 files modified, but only 2 of them are doing real changes. All the others are just small things. So when you see that, you are more like, you know, about going and reviewing the code instead of, oh, God, I have to do this now. It will take me an hour. You see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That reminds me, there was this funny joke that I saw. I think it was on Twitter, where it's basically it said, you know, code review time. 10 lines of code, find 10 different issues with the code. You know, 1,000 lines of code. Code review passes easily.
Absolutely, and that's a reality. I mean, that's a reality. You find a small change, then you look it carefully, you understand what it's doing. You find a change with, you know, 100 files being modified and say, oh my God, I won't be able to understand all this stuff unless I work here for hours, which probably you have to, but then, you know, there's some other issues that you have to look into, new features flowing, things, user requests, you know, something that every developer, development team faces. So yes, we try to simplify that part.
You mentioned earlier that having better tools makes you able to work differently. So I can see, for instance, that I would be less worried about working in a team and making a more significant refactor and not completely just making it impossible to merge. Is this something you've seen in your team as your development style has changed as a result of this?
Yes, exactly. That's one of the things we see. I mean, for instance, just to give you an example, and I was actually I won't say surprised, but we are a little bit, I was, right? I had an old branch from like 1 year ago. Now, these days, I'm not so much into development as I would like to because, you know, I'm also running some other things inside the company. But I like to code whenever I can, right? So like 3 weeks ago, I took a branch that was being standing there like for a year, which is not a good development practice, of course, but was not, you know, was like a side feature I wanted to add to our main product. And I took it and I had to merge it with the latest code. And then I just ran the regular diff and it was like, I don't know, a huge number of conflicts. I said, oh my God. Then I ran it through semantic again and I only had one because all the other changes were automatically solved because they were just about code being moved. Just that. So it turned out, you know, a merger that I was going to be working on for an hour to something different. About your question, if it changes your policies, okay. What we try to achieve with this, or real ambition with the tool is, okay, refactoring is good. You clean up your code, you make it easier to read, and it will be better for your project. But sometimes you don't do it because you don't have the time. Or when you have the time, you are scared about doing it because then it will collide with the changes made by some other guy in your team. This tool, of course, is not magical. I mean, it's not super intelligent or something like that. It's just a tool, right? But it will help you. And each case where it will help, it will lead to better code, more maintainable code, and a team that will be able to focus more on the real business instead of just, you know, cleaning up old code.
One of the things I noticed, you were talking about automatically merging, and one of the things I noticed in going through the samples that you provide was exactly that a lot of them, a lot of things would move around, but it was able to automatically merge everything. Can you talk a little bit about how it decides when it can just automatically merge?
Yes, and you'll find out that it's a very, very simple thing. I mean, at the end of the day, what we do is the following. Okay, instead of looking into the file as just a bunch of lines, semantic knows where each method is, whether it's a class, a method, a field, a property, whatever it is, right? So suppose we have three methods in the class, and then John and I start moving each on his copy of the file. I move one method up, and he moves the same method down or something like that. Okay, semantic calculates the difference against the base, how it was at the beginning. And then it will find out that the methods were just moved. So it will say, okay, fine, they were only moved, no problem. When the conflict will be found is if you and if two guys actually change the same method at the same time, then you have a conflict. Or if we both move a method, and when I say a method, I say any other element, a class or whatever, right, to two different locations. So suppose you move a method to a subclass, and then move it to a different subclass. Then you have a conflict, divergent move. But if you just move it down on the same class or something, it won't complain about that. It will only find code that has been actually changed by two guys at the same time, right? And this leads to a very interesting point, that it can find conflicts that are not able to be found by regular merge tools. So suppose we both modify the same method, but you modify it on the first line and I modify it 20 lines below. A regular merge tool would say, okay, automatic conflict. It will go inside and that's it. But semantic will find, okay, it's a conflict because two lines have been changed inside the body of the same method. So whether they don't collide, I should ask the user to take a look into it. And that's basically the mechanism, right? So it's all about calculating the differences in a different way. It doesn't calculate lines added or deleted. It actually calculates methods, properties, and so on, added, moved, renamed, and just that.
Okay. And then you mentioned earlier version control support. So this, I think that's a big deal that this integrates with Plastic, and it also integrates with like Git and Mercurial. And are there other version control systems that this will integrate with?
Yeah, we do integrate with almost everything out there. I mean, if you go to our site, you'll see that we publish instructions to integrate with Git, of course, because it's one of the most widely used version controls. TFS, Perforce, Mercurial. I think we also have instructions, of course, for Plastic and then Subversion. And at the end of the day, it's very easy to integrate because every version control system just invokes a command line tool. And that's the default and standard interface. So what we did is to try to adjust to every way to invoke the tool, every possible way to invoke the tool, and that's what we do. In fact, some of the changes we released yesterday were about that, actually doing better support for SourceTree, Mercurial and SourceTree, and also for Perforce. So it's not difficult to support all these version controls. Actually, the difficult part is supporting the languages. The version controls is just about doing small tweaks here and there on the way you invoke the tool.
Okay. And then so you first had Windows support, but you've added in Linux support. Is that done using Mono or Xamarin to do that?
Yes. We have been using Mono for years, right? We started developing Plastic SCM back in 2005. It's been already a long way developing that. And from the very beginning, we used Mono. And in the case of Plastic, it's even more complex because it's a much bigger system. Semantic, at the end of the day, is a much smaller tool, much easier to control and test and so on. And, yeah, we first developed for Windows using WPF, and then we migrated all the graphical part. Actually, not migrated. We rewrote the graphical part in GTK Sharp using Mono and Xamarin. And now we are working on the Mac version using the Xamarin Studio. And basically, the core is the same on all the three platforms. Of course, all the logic, all the parsing, all the merge and diff calculation, exactly the same code. And we are adapting the GUIs. Actually, this is a lesson we learned the hard way, because with Plastic SCM, we have the same GUI running on top of on WinForms, on emulated WinForms on Mac and Linux. And we found out that you really need native look and feel. So we have this in Plastic on Windows, which is at the end of the day our primary platform, especially for client. But we don't have the native look and feel on Linux and Mac. So Semantic is helping us to have some sort of test bed, pilot project, if you want, to try developing GUIs on these platforms. And yeah, we're using Mono. We extensively rely on Mono.
You said GTK Sharp for both Linux and Mac?
No, in Linux we're using GTK Sharp. It would work on Mac. I think we made it. It runs on Mac, but we never officially released it for Mac. And we are working with Mono Mac right now to have the native Mac OS look and feel. So it's actually a layer on top of the Cocoa libraries and all that. So it really looks and feels like an Objective-C application. It's still under development, right? I mean, in fact, from where I'm sitting right now, I can see a screen running a Mac box with the new GUI for Mac. It's still under development, right?
Okay, so let's talk about the pricing model, which I thought is pretty interesting. First of all, you have a 15-day free trial, but then for I think it's $4 a month, $3.99 a month for an individual user?
Exactly. We try to come up with a very, very affordable pricing model. I hope it is. I mean, we're still, you know, starting. We only released it commercially less than a month ago, only 15 days ago. So we're still trying to learn from our initial users. But we wanted to have something very, very affordable. So price is not going to be the stopper for the developer. So we have a monthly subscription, only $4 a month. We have an annual, a yearly subscription. It's about $45. And then we have a perpetual license for $89. So we think it's affordable. We are starting to offer discounts to teams. I think it's live today, starting just a few minutes ago. And yeah, we try to come up with something really affordable. I know the subscription model is not very common for desktop tools, I mean tools that you use that are not online or something like that. But we want to experiment with that and see how people perceive it and whether they like it, right, or not.
Yeah, as it says on the side, it's so expensive you can't say you can't afford it. I mean, $4 is like an app, right? And then yeah. And of course the free 15-day trials is nice too. that seems difficult also to code for. Like, right, you're coding for subscriptions, and then you have to, like, let's say I'm offline and I'm on an airplane or that kind of thing. I mean, is that difficult to handle all that?
Well, we actually went for a very simple solution, right? What the system does is it downloads the license from the site, then it can use it. And when it runs, once it runs out of time, like, okay, it's on a monthly basis, it will just say, okay, I cannot no longer continue working if I don't have a connection. It gives you a little bit of margin, right? Just in case you are in a plane or you are in a plane or something, you want to stop working. But we didn't go for a very complicated mechanism there. We're thinking about having some sort of online system also, because especially for individuals, it's kind of fine as it is right now. But for teams, instead of having to generate a single key for every developer and all that, they normally prefer, okay, we have 50 licenses, then whatever the developers are, let them just use them, right? So that's something it is still under development. But yeah, the regular licenses system is not very difficult. I wouldn't say it's super secure either, but we are not very scared about that right now.
Exactly. With $4 a month, you know, yeah. It's not worth someone's time to try and defeat that.
I hope so.
And then you also offer free licenses for open source projects as well, right?
Exactly. From the very beginning, we got people from the open source communities asking for Semantic. So we wanted to have something, right? And in fact, you know, we extensively use Mono. It's the same with Plastic. Every product we have done so far, we always offer free for open source, and also for, you know, any hobbies that come up and ask us, okay, can I just use it at home for this or that? That's perfectly fine for us. I mean, we got some projects. In fact, we should publish. I mean, we are still in progress with upgrading the website almost on a weekly basis, but we'd like to publish the list of open source projects already using it, right? And I think it's going to be interesting.
Can you mention any offhand?
Yeah, there are several ones. Checking some of the names, but for instance, the guys doing F-Spot are using it, and some other, basically most of the Mono projects are asked us for using some license, some developers inside the Mono team and so on, right? So yeah, as I said, I'd like to publish the entire list in a few weeks, but yeah, there are not so many. I mean, I'm not talking about hundreds, like maybe a dozen or something like that.
Okay. One other thing I've been thinking about is, as you have this semantic understanding of the code and what people are doing, it seems like you could even move into like tracking some more metrics or you know, deeper understanding of how people are changing the code or how the code base is changing over time. Is that something you've thought about at all?
Yeah, that's a very good idea. Look, one of the things that we want to come up with together with Plastic and also Semantic is the way developers use the version control. At the end of the day, the version control has a lot of information, and only on a daily basis, as developers, we only get, you know, check in and check out the merging, and that's all, right? But for instance, one of the very interesting things we can extract, and we released it a few weeks ago inside Plastic SCM, is what we call semantic method history. You right click on a method in Visual Studio, you say find the history, and it will show you the history of the method, even when the method has been renamed, has been moved, or something like that. Our goal is to do it on a repository-wide basis, so not only inside the file, but also if the method has been moved from one file to another or something like that. And we'll also like to extract more clever metrics. So instead of knowing the number of lines of code you modified, actually knowing the number of methods you modified or added or moved or refactored, this kind of stuff. It will take a while because we're just, you know, almost starting with all that. But yes, that's our goal, right? Actually create more tools for developers that they can use on a daily basis. So our ambition as a company has always been, you know, turn the version control from a delivery mechanism to a productivity mechanism, a productivity tool for developers. So it's something you'll end up using, I wouldn't say more, but each time you use it, you know, you can also use it not only to put code into the main line, into the main branch, but also to find what you modified a few minutes ago, to track your own changes, to better understand your code and all that. So yeah, we actually have one project that we like to start in a few weeks, which is called Semantic Repo History, which I think it perfectly fits with the idea you just shared.
So we've talked a little bit about Plastic SCM just kind of in reference over time, but having seen how nice semantic merge is. I'm really interested in Plastic SEM. So can you explain how that's different from, I guess, other DVCSs and what it offers to developers?
Yes, of course. Well, if you only have 1 minute to look into Plastic SEM, go to plasticscm.com and look for the Branch Explorer, because I think it really is a good... it's a good way to understand what the whole system is about. The Branch Explorer is a way to show you all the branches. What we try to come up with Plastic SCM is, okay, it's a very powerful system. It's as powerful as Git is, but it's very, very easy to use. It's distributed. Actually, it's the only commercial version control system which is fully distributed. Can work both centralized and distributed. So I can have my own repository on my own laptop, but I can also work with a workspace in Subversion style if I'm at the office. It's very, very graphical. Very, very graphical. You can do almost everything from the Branch Explorer, from diffing, merging, branching, whatever you want. It's very integrated with concepts like you normally use in companies like security and so on. You have ACLs, security ACLs for everything if you want to use it. It's very fast. It's very scalable. But it's also, as you can imagine, we are very focused on merging. So it's very, very powerful on in merging. It can do really a lot of different merging scenarios that almost no other tool can do. But if I have to define it in a single word, I will say it's very visual and very easy to use. We started development long ago, back in 2005. We have been growing and growing. We're in version 5 right now. And, well, you know, we have customers all over the world. We are not as well-known, of course, as Git is or TFS is. We have large customers. It's free. Plastic SCM is free for every team smaller than 15 developers, which means basically it's free for 99% of the industry, or at least 95%. And yes, well, that's a little bit of what it is, right? Very visual, very easy to use, and still as powerful as you want. As you were mentioning before, it tries to make easy things really easy. Like, you want to diff something, just right-click on a chain set, you find a difference. It's very, very graphical.
Wow. So this is great. I didn't see this before. Free for teams under 15. That's amazing. So what about if I've got an existing code base that's in Git? Is there a way that I can kind of shadow or you know, kind of run, like look at this without kind of fully investing my code base in it?
Yeah, look, in the case of Git, it's straightforward. We have two mechanisms. First, we are completely compatible with the fast import and fast export mechanism of Git. So you can just fast export your Git repository and fast import it into Plastic. But there's another way which is even easier than that. During this year, I mean, we released it, I think it was back in March or April or something like that. We developed something called Git Sync. So if you download Plastic today, go to a branch, right-click on it and say, sync with Git, you can just put there a GitHub URL and it will directly pull from GitHub or any other Git server. And the same will happen for pushing. So it's compatible with the Git push and pull protocol. So basically you can have Plastic on your workstation. The rest of the team is working on Git. You can still push and pull without having an intermediate copy or something like that. It natively speaks the Git protocol.
That's incredible. I just have to say I love when technologies give me more and don't make me give something up or make me choose, you know, and this is exactly what I would hope for in something like this. Let me try it without feeling trapped, you know, and then, I mean, wow, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the nice comment, right? But, you know, the version control is not an easy tool to change, and that's something we know quite well. We have from very small customers, just one guy or two guys using Plastic, to large customers using, well, 1,000 developers using Plastic SCM on a single code base for developing, you know, mobile software and so on. I'm not talking about apps, but actually the operating system and stuff like that, right? So we know it's not easy to switch the version control, because it's something you have to use on a daily basis and everyone on the team has to use it. So we try to make it as easy as possible. And that was actually one of the motivations to develop Semantic, because first, it's built on top of the previous merge experience we have with Plastic. It's also built on top of a tool that goes included with Semantic Merge that is called XMerge. It actually goes into the same package, no extra cost, and it's a text-based merge tool that is also able to track, move, and refactor code, but instead of doing it semantically, it does it just by, you know, finding code similarities and so on. And what I want to say is that what we wanted to do with Semantic is trying to come up with a tool that is easy to introduced on every team. Replacing the version control is probably very, very hard for a lot of teams, but they can still use Semantic without any extra operations. And if they want to give a try to Plastic, it's also easy. Although, of course, switching to Plastic is going to take them more time because, you know, it's more a corporate decision or a team decision than an individual one.
It looks like from a blog post last year, there's also a little application you can run in the tray to use Plastic as a GitHub client. Is that something that's required or is that something that's still around?
Yeah. In fact, this was the first version before coming up with GitSync. This small application is just a small tray var Windows application that you can use to push and pull to Git. But actually, if you download Plastic SCM 5, you just have it built in. Right click on a branch and sync. Much easier.
Yeah, that is very nice.
Okay, well, this is great information. I'm fired up about it. Can you tell listeners about where they can find out more, both about Plastic SCM and also Semantic Merge?
Yes, of course. I mean, the best way, they can just go to our sites, plasticscm.com, semanticmerge.com, and then they'll find out how to download. I mean, downloading Semantic is just clicking and you get in no registration, so it takes like a second. And then we have our blog post, which is linked from these sites. We have a lot of information there, and we love to talk to people, right? So if they follow us on Twitter at Semantic Merge or at Plastic SCM. We are really happy to answer any questions, you know, to just chat about version control. If they have any questions, they can reach our support team, which is extremely responsive. I mean, the tools are good, but the support team is even better. So we are really happy to exchange any ideas with everyone. So, yeah, we'll be listening.
I just have to say, as you're mentioning your team, I love, there's a little Easter egg here, but if you go to plasticscm.com and click on the About page, if you click on the team, the people, their eyes follow you around the page as you move your mouse. I love that. I'm going to sit here and play with this probably for the next 15 minutes because.
Yeah, and you can find everyone there, right? So everyone on the team is there. As you will see, it's a bunch of young developers trying to really come up with nice new ideas. And we'll be more than happy if you give it a try.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your time. That's all for this week on Herding Code. We'll talk to you again soon.